The debate over daylight savings time centers on whether we want to have the light in the afternoon or evening, or whether we want to have the light in the morning. Everybody recognizes that in the darkness there are issues, safety issues, and knowledge issues that you don't really face during the day. In the day, you can see all dangers around you. In the day, you can be aware. If you hear a noise, you can look up and immediately identify what it is. But when it becomes dark, then things become a little more concerning. And so this is the parable that God created light and God created the darkness. Or actually, I don't know that he created the darkness. It says the darkness was there until he created the light. So darkness clearly is the absence of light. And so I want to spend some time this evening talking about this as the parable that God has used to describe the domain where he lives in. He dwells in the light. He is light. His son came to this earth and brought light. While he was here, he was the light of the world. The light is now in the scriptures. It was always in the scriptures. In Psalms 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my way. So this concept of light is captured in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. But as I say, I think we need to read this as a parable and not as some spiritual reality that we can't comprehend, because we have to walk in this light. This isn't something that is happening in heaven where God is. We have to walk in it. So this is a light that we can perceive. This is a light that we can understand. It emanates from God. It reflects like the moon through the scriptures, and it actually was in the Lord. So this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, what God is trying to get across to us is that in his domain there is knowledge. In his domain, there is righteousness and holiness. In his domain, there is truth and uprightness. But in this domain, that doesn't always exist. As a matter of fact, God tends to look at the world, and we'll talk about why that happens, as a place of darkness and a place of despair. When Isaiah spoke of the coming of the Messiah, he said that the light is shining in the darkness. And again, that's another scripture that we'll be looking at. So God is light is a way for us to understand when the sun comes up in the morning, that's the light. And as long as that sun is in the sky, we can see many things that we are no longer aware of in the darkness. Color can only be seen when there is light. If there is no light, colors fade and it all becomes gray. It all becomes an image, but not something that you can see very clearly. So in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now remember, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And the same thing is true with Jesus. So Jesus, as the Word, was with God and was God. So if God is light, then Jesus is light. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Now we get into the parable again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now we understand what the darkness is, because in chapter 3 he explains it. Men live in darkness. They don't want to know the truth or the light of truth. They don't want to know that their deeds are evil. They don't want to know that their short-sightedness is leading them into an eternal place of darkness, because that's how Jesus describes the terrible nature of hell. It is the blackness and the darkness of despair is the way that I believe it's either Jude or Peter puts it. So the light is shining in the darkness. Then there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So as far as God is concerned, when Jesus came into the realm of darkness, he shone as a light. Now, it was a light that perhaps God could see. Paul talks about how we shine as lights and that God can see us. There's a light in us that is not in other people. But that's not the way this is being that's not the way this is depicted here. The light that was in heaven came into this world and was reflected, actually not even reflected. It was in the body of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And through his actions and through his words, everything he said and everything he did was from light. And so when we see what Jesus does, when we see what Jesus teaches, when we see what the apostles are teaching and what the Holy Spirit has given to them, we see the light. But whenever we turn from the scriptures, we're back into the darkness. And this is how God wants us to see it. Because if we, as he's going to say a little bit later, if you're in the darkness, you're going to stumble because you don't know where you're going. And so we left the realm of darkness when we became a Christian. And we came into the light which Jesus came to reveal, which while he was here, he said, I am the light of the world. But after he left, he put it in the scriptures. The scriptures are light. When I'm reading the scriptures, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. So we have to understand something. God's domain has been suppressed, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, by unrighteous men who suppress the truth in ungodliness and unrighteousness, and the wrath of God is revealed against that. So what we see as the sun will set tonight, and the light will begin to fade, and our fears will begin to arise. Not terror, but just concern. I'm always more careful at night. I can't see. I can't see everything. And you don't know what's lurking. And you don't know. So I'm glad they have street lights. I don't like it in Malawi. When I'm walking around in Malawi in the middle of the night, you can't really see. You can't see what's there. And if you don't have your own light, it can be nerve-wracking. We're really blessed here. We have a lot of containers for light that give us still. But if we could just put ourselves in a dark closet for a few minutes and realize that that's how God sees this world, unless the light of the scriptures is reflected in somebody's heart and they're living that. And so this passage is trying to get across to us this parable or this concept that we see all the time. We see light. When the sun comes up, it's light. When the sun goes down, it gets dark. When we turn a light on in our room, it becomes light. If the light goes out or the power goes out, it's pitch dark. You can't see anything. And so that's what God is trying to help us understand. The point is, we've got to trust in the Word of God with all of our heart, because anything else, we just don't know anything about it. It's in the darkness. If I can't trace it back to the Scriptures, it's not light. I can only trust. It's just like the sun. The sun gives the light. Jesus, and I mean S-U-N, but now we have S-O-N, because Jesus is the one. So we're contrasting, basically, the world where God lives, where everything is light, everyone does God's will, a realm of knowledge and truth, a domain of love and good, an eternal realm where God, who is love, is reigning over those who follow his ways. And that's what John is trying to get across to us in 1 John chapter 1 when he says God is light. He's not trying to describe a characteristic of God. He is trying to help us understand that everything that emanates from God is similar to what the Son does. It makes everything, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, that which is made manifest is light. When you know it's a truth. So this world is different. It's a world of darkness where God's will has been suppressed and forgotten. When you go to India, when you go to China, when you go to Africa and you see the ancestral religions or the Hindu religion or the religions of various Buddhism and all of these others, they're suppressing the truth. They're teaching incarnation. They're teaching we come back as an animal or we just keep recycling and recycling and recycling. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest. Now, the Greek word manifest means to bring out into the light where you can see it clearly. It means that it's something that can clearly be seen. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So as we look out into the world, we have to understand it's a mixture of darkness and light. Again, if it comes from the scriptures, it's light. If it doesn't come from the scriptures, then I'm going to have to search the scriptures to see if it's light or if it's darkness. Because man has created a realm that is so far removed from God that you can't always trust what you see. What you see, you remember in Isaiah 5, again, I'm borrowing scriptures that we're going to cover here in just a few moments, but in Isaiah 5 it says, "Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Well, unfortunately, if you do that long enough, you can't tell the difference. And there has to be some way for me to detect or understand what is darkness and what is light. Well, we've all come out of the darkness. We've all come out, as Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 1. We were living a vain manner of life handed down from our ancestors. And again, unless we can trace it all the way back to the scriptures, and unless we can be certain that everything we were taught by mother and father were actually from the scriptures, we don't know if the light that is in us is darkness. That'll be the very last slide where we talk about the fact that Jesus said, if the light that is in you is really darkness, how great is that darkness? And we've all met people like that. People who are so convinced that they know what they're doing that they won't allow any outside source. If you try to, quote, shine the light of truth. In other words, here's a scripture from the Bible. This scripture from the Bible condemns what you're doing. This scripture from the Bible shows that you're really in the darkness. Well, I can't trust the Bible because I can see the light. Well, you can't go any further with that. So the parable of light and darkness is a description of the realities and the truths that the light reveals and the deceptions and the corruptions that can be in the darkness. So the foundation of the parable, of course, is found in the creation where God creates light. There wasn't any light. And we get a chance every once in a while on a dark, cloudy night to be outside when the power goes out and to see what true darkness is like. Some people, I remember a friend telling me once that when they take you down into a cave, sometimes they'll turn out all the lights just so you can feel the darkness. And you know, it doesn't take very long before you start to feel panic. It's not pleasant to be in absolute darkness. Well, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Now, this is the parable. This is what we have to understand. We're going to read about light and darkness in the scriptures, and the scriptures have a lot to say about it. But unless we can grasp this concept that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, and that when Jesus came, Jesus was light and in him there is no darkness at all. And when the Holy Spirit revealed or placed that into the receptacle of the scriptures, now there is no darkness in the scriptures. But like I said, sometimes we read a scripture and it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like, well, that's telling me something. That's telling me that I was in the darkness. And the light that I thought was light in me was actually the vain manner of life passed down from my fathers, and what seems normal, what seems truth, what seems right. Prince is struggling because the people there have never heard what he's preaching before. It doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't. They've never heard it. They're grappling with it. The Hindus are hearing the true gospel, and the people in the denominations who over there are so actively involved in performing miracles that they never quite get around to reading the scriptures. And all they talk about is all the good things God has done for them physically. And so they're in the darkness. And he's bringing the light of scripture, and they're saying, that can't be true. And I don't know if it's true or not, because I don't think we could verify it, but you remember when Columbus was going to sail, there were some people who said the world's flat. We can't sail around the world. The world is flat. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. As they learn more and more about history, sometimes they debunk some of these things we learned as kids, like whether George Washington really cut down the cherry tree and said, I cannot tell a lie. I don't know if that happened or not. But I do know that when men think and are convicted and believe that they have the truth, and that truth is actually a lie, that's what God means when he says this is darkness. Now, what he's telling us is that Satan and those who follow Satan are in the realm of darkness, and everything that proceeds from them, you can't trust it. God is the only one who can see everything. The fact is that we don't know what happens on the other side of death. Now, people imagine, but it's dark to us. I can't see beyond it. Now, I can read what the scriptures say. The scriptures say we must all be manifest before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or evil. The scriptures say that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth on the part of some who did not follow what Jesus actually said. So this parable, the foundation of the parable, this concept of light and darkness, if we can internalize that and grasp it, then whenever we're reading the scriptures, we are in the light. And whenever we're talking to people out in the world and we're listening to their theories and their concepts and their ideas, but they don't quite mesh with scripture, I have to understand something. God has already revealed this is the darkness. And if you're going to go out into the darkness, you know, if I told you, look, I'm gonna go downstairs, I'm gonna turn out all the light, and then I'm gonna study the scriptures. You say, well, how can you do that? Well, I'm just gonna turn out all the light, and then I'm gonna find the truth. Well, you can't find the truth in the darkness. You've got to have light to be able to find the truth. So Genesis is not a difficult concept to grasp. It would be if we didn't live in it. You know, I often think when I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the resurrection, I think to myself, if we didn't have the world to compare Genesis chapter 1 to, we'd have the same problem. When it says God created the birds and God created the trees and God created the animals and God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and we would have to say, that's a pretty bare-bone description. But we can take the scriptures and there's the trees. There's the sun. There's the moon. I see everything God made. It makes perfect sense. But when we read about what he's going to do in the future, we can't pick it up. It's still darkness to us. He can explain to us what's going to happen. But we don't have any point of reference. You know, people ask me sometimes, are there going to be any animals in heaven? Are we going to eat in heaven? Are we going to drink in heaven? I don't know. There's going to be water there because there's the water of life that we can drink from. There's a tree of life that we can eat from. So I guess, but I don't know. I can't go there. We can't move. Darkness dissipates when you move from the unknown into the known. But when we don't have the known to compare the unknown, we have to admit, you know, anything that I say from this point onward, I can't promise you it's light. I can't promise you that it's truth, because I don't know. Now, as I say, the concept in John, though, it's more complicated. It's more difficult. God is light, and in him is no darkness. Jesus is the light of men. And John came to witness that Jesus was the true light that has come into the world. So I'm internalizing all this, and I'm looking at this. Because you know something, brethren? We have to make a decision. We've been born into a, quote, Christian nation. And so most people just assume that our religions are correct. Well, they're not correct. They're no more correct than most places, unless we are going to the scriptures. There's a lot of darkness in the truth. And we can see it. We can see it when people start preaching things that are not in the scriptures, and we understand that didn't come from God. Now, Israel had been trained. So they had a pretty good understanding of this, and we need to grasp what they already understood before God started using these concepts. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. So this man understands. When I'm reading the scriptures, I am reading the light of the truth. Absolute pure light. Clean and pure, right from the mind of God into the scriptures. And so as I'm reading that, as this man points out, that's where I get my light. That's where I get my understanding. That's where I confirm and swear that your judgments are fair. The word righteous meaning fair and just and honorable. So the parable of the light here is continued. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. How do I know the difference? How do I know? Well, we start with God. God is light. Then we move to Jesus, who is also light. Then we move to the scriptures that contain that light and instruct us and open up a vision into the ways of heaven. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Love will never fail. As long as we are moving under the direction of agape love, as long as we're moving under the direction of what makes God. God is love, we're told in 1 John, not once, but twice. Twice in the book it says, God is love. But as I've mentioned so many times, you won't find that love in this world. This world does not have that kind of love. That love only comes from God. A love that uses people for their best interests and not for our best interests. You don't find that in the world. People are selfish. People are going to use other people for their own ends. God doesn't do that. God uses people for their best interest. Everything God ever asks me to do is in my best interest. And this is something that we have to grapple with. I wrote an article on this yesterday. The fact that what God asks us to do in the scriptures is always for our good, always. It's always in our best interest. But whatever Satan tries to deceive us into thinking this is a better way, it always ends in disaster. And so what I have to do is I have to understand, if I'm not getting my information from the scriptures, I don't know if it's darkness or light. I don't know if it's truth or error. The only receptacle of light in the world today is from the scriptures. And if I'm not going to use the scriptures to determine that, then I'm going to have a serious problem. So God's word is the receptacle that held the light until Jesus came. Jesus was the light of the world while here, and now God's word is the receptacle that holds the light after Jesus left. So when I'm, for example, I'm sitting here and I've got my Bible in this hand and I've got a commentary over here. Well, the commentary, I don't know if it's light or darkness or not. I have to assess the words of men with skepticism. Everything that comes from the mouth of man, I don't know if it's light or not because I can't verify it. The only thing that's verifiable are the things that come from God, because God is light and Jesus is light and he came to bring this light. And when I'm working under their teachings, I'm in the light. But if I'm following the, quote, vain manner of life handed down from my fathers, but I haven't yet verified whether it's scripture or not. Some of us are really blessed. We were born and raised into a home that was full of light. But you know something? You don't know that yet. You are under the same type of training as the Roman Catholic or the Hindu or the Buddhist or the Muslim or the ancestral religion. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to get out the scriptures and verify. Verify that what you were taught growing up was from God and from scripture, because God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, when we move to the Hindu religion, we're in the darkness. When we move to the Muslim religion, when we move to the Buddhist religion, we're in the darkness. It didn't come from God, and it actually contradicts some of the things that God actually says. God says nothing about incarnation. God teaches us that when we die, our soul is taken to Hades and placed either in the place of torment, if that's where we deserve to be, or in the place of paradise, if that's where we deserve to be. Now, that's the light that God has given to us. Now, you can say, well, I don't know if I can believe that or not, because I can't verify it. Well, that's why we move from the known to the unknown. God has never lied. It's impossible for God to lie. I have strong convictions about what the light that God has sent into the world. And so do you. So, all ignorance, rebellion, suppression, superstition, prejudice, and hardening lead to and come out of the darkness. Now, that's what John was saying when he said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. But if we walk in the darkness, we don't have any fellowship with God. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, well, how in the world can I do that? How can I walk in the light as he is in the light? Well, it's pretty simple when we understand how this parable functions. We walk in the light as he is in the light when every step we take has been carefully crafted and looked at based on the scriptures. Just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the way that leads to life is straitened and narrow and few will find it. But the way that leads to destruction and darkness is broad and easily followed and entered. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Well, what's the opposite of this? If this is where the woes are, where does the blessings come from? Well, blessed is the man. Well, let's look at one. I just thought of this. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 1. Just going to read a couple of verses here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. The ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Woe to those who contradict the scriptures then. And blessed is the man who won't listen to those who are in the darkness. So as we come to this understanding, we start to have a perspective. Okay, now I can kind of grapple with this. I can kind of grasp this. All the light is in the heaven. And all the light is emanating from God. But unfortunately, Satan brought darkness into the world, and now darkness prevails here. Matter of fact, some places he is called the god of this world because the world loves to serve him. Jesus was a light that could be seen in his life and in his teaching. There was no incongruity. There was perfect equality between his teaching and his life. Because he was a perfect, sinless individual. That's why God could say at the end of his life, he was the light of the world. Now, John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. Now, how many people have we talked to and said, Jesus can bring you salvation. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. He wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. Oh, that sounds really good. But Jesus has revealed that it's a sin to get drunk, and it's a sin to use drugs. And Jesus has revealed it's a sin to lie, and it's a sin to, and I mean, it just goes on and on and on, all the things that Jesus has revealed. Oh, wait a minute. Are you meaning to tell me that if I become a Christian, I have to stop doing these things? Well, yeah, that's, he came to reveal the light. You're in the darkness. Yeah, but I like this darkness. I mean, I like this lifestyle. Yeah, but don't you understand it's going to end in a terrible way? Well, I can't see that. I think I'll just stay in the darkness. And they go on their merry way. Well, that's what he's saying here. This is a parable. The light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So I go to the scriptures every day, just like that man in Psalms 119, and I do some reevaluations. And this is where a lot of these sermons come from, is they come from personal reevaluations of truth that I thought was truth, but turns out not to be truth. And that's what we all need to be doing. Just like the Bereans who search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now, that's what we act like when we believe that all the light is in here and anything that is not in here is from the darkness. And so we become cautious and we become circumspect and we love the truth. And we take out our, quote, flashlight. Anytime we're in a situation where we're just not quite clear, we go to the scriptures and we get out our spiritual flashlight and we look it over. All Jesus did reflected the light of God into this world of darkness. And that's why he said, blessed are you if you don't stumble. If you can't find anything to stumble in me, then you're blessed. But if there's anything about me that you don't agree with, We're just coming at it from the wrong perspective. We're in the darkness. We have to come to him for the light. We can't be in the darkness and come to him and say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, I don't know that I can agree with that. Well, how would you know to be able to determine? You're in the darkness. So I go into a house where there's no light. And the people in the darkness are telling me, this is how it is. I say, well, how do you know that? Well, this is just what we believe. Yeah, but you're in the darkness. How could you possibly know what's true and what's not true? And so I turn the flashlight on and say, well, look over in that corner. You said this was over there. There's nothing over there. Well, that's what the scriptures do. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but men didn't want it. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. All right? That's what the scriptures are. It's a beautiful parable. It's a parable of I'm out in the sun seeing everything clearly, and when I'm walking in the light, I'm seeing everything clearly, just as clear as it can be. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So everything Jesus did and taught was light. As long as he was in the world, the light could only emanate from him, and of course was reflected by his disciples. Then in John 12, as Jesus' life is now coming to a close, John 13, he has the Last Supper. John 14, 15, 16, and 17, he's having his final conversations with the apostles on his last night on earth. And then, starting in chapter 18, he dies the next day. So this is winding into the very last day of Jesus' life. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." Now, again, I have to go back and forth here. I understand this in the physical realm. Now I have to transfer it into the spiritual realm. This is a parable. It is a parable that describes what happens in the physical realm when you walk in darkness. You're going to stumble over something. You're going to walk out into a dangerous situation. You might even walk over a cliff. You can't see where you're going. So while you have the light, walk in the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. I won't read this entire passage. Let's just read verse 16. The reason I put it all in here is because I wanted you to see verse 14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. In other words, this is a prophecy. The reason Jesus went to Capernaum, this was a prophecy. And the prophecy is, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." You know, as I look back at my life, that's how I look at my life before the gospel came into my life. I became a Christian at 19. Before I became a Christian, I was in the darkness. I didn't know where I was going. And I have learned that everything I was taught during that time is suspect. I have to take another look at it. Now, Paul said the same thing when he said, "Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It's just another parable. It's just another description of what happens when we hear the gospel and when we have to make a decision. Am I going to give this my all? Am I going to put my full trust and confidence in it? Or am I going to take it with a grain of salt? Most Christians take it with a grain of salt. It's so sad to see that, but they take it with a grain of salt. And when you shake your head and you think about it, you say, how in the world could they take the light and say, "Well, I'm going to have to judge whether what's in the scripture is true for me or not." And you're just kind of shaking your head, thinking to yourself, okay, well, here we are. Here are these people in a dark house telling us all the things that are in the darkness when they don't know. We turn the light on, they see everything, they realize that it's not at all what they thought it was. You turn the light out, they go right back to the way they were. This verse is here, and again, I can see I'm running short of time, so let's just drop down to verse 46. "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So it is the light. And when I assess my life by this light, on the judgment day, when the true light finally shines, I'm going to find out that everything that was in the scriptures was absolute truth. Wow, isn't that amazing? It's absolute truth. Well, I know it now. I don't have to wait to find that out. By faith, I understand that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and the scriptures that he has revealed perfectly, not Paul's writings or Peter's writings, but the writings of the Holy Spirit, whom the Holy Spirit used to actually write those things. If I follow the scriptures, I'm in the light. If I don't, I'm in the darkness. It's just that simple. Not complicated at all. As I say, it's sublime, but it's not complicated. If we just take it down to the level of a parable, and we look at the parable, which is the sunshine and the darkness, and then we come to the scriptures, and we see that that's exactly the same thing. So, here's where we started. The parable of light and darkness. Where are you? Are you in the light? Well, you are, if you can quote Scripture for every step you take. You know, we have a song, "I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need your strength to lean upon." I can only know I'm in the darkness. Well, I can't know. I can only know I'm in the light if I can quote Scripture. And if I can't quote Scripture, I got no clue. So now the light is in us. I can see that I've got way too much material because I've got another, I think, 3 or 4 slides. So I tell you what, we're going to save this for next week because I want to lay this foundation, and then we want to talk next week about what it is to walk in the light. I think we have a pretty clear picture now of what the light is. And I think we have a pretty good picture of the concept of the parable, but now we have to make some decisions regarding how we're going to approach this. And this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where a lot of Christians don't always make the right applications. And so a part of them stays in darkness. Jesus talks about this. Matter of fact, let me look at the last slide. Let me get to the last slide here. There we go. Let's just look at Luke 11, 34 and 35. There, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Look, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. Now, that's where we're going. We need to take a good hard look. I may have a big chunk of darkness still in here. And I do, and you do. Whenever we can commit a sin thinking it's enjoyable until after the lust goes away and then we start crying and moaning about it, well, we were in the darkness for a little while there. We were thinking that this is where this was going to end, and even though it's never ended there, somehow we're going to keep doing it. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and thinking you're going to get a different outcome? Every time we sin, the outcome is going to be the same. We're not going to be happy with ourselves. But for that split second, we're in the darkness. And so as we pick up our psalms now, we get ready, songbooks, and we get ready to sing the final psalm. There's a great day coming. And when that great day comes, everything will be light. But it's too late now. I can see clearly now that there's nothing I can do. The time to see this is not then. It's too late. The time to see it is now. And so when this great day comes, if we're in the light, we're going to be so happy. We're going to be laughing and smiling and grinning and just jumping up and down for joy if we can. I don't really know how it's going to be, whether we can jump up and down or not, but I'd like to think that we could. But I know one thing, we will have glee and joy beyond imagination if we walk in the light as He is in the light. But if we find out on the judgment day that the light we thought was in us, and as I've said so many times, you can see it so clearly in everybody else, but you can't see it in yourself. So as we sing the song, if there's anyone in the audience who's been touched by this lesson in any way, and maybe there's something they need to do now, maybe they need to repent of some sins, or maybe they need to make a reevaluation of their life, or maybe they need to come forward tonight and confess sin, or maybe they need to be baptized into Christ. I can't read your minds. That's another part of the darkness. That's something we can't do. God can do it. We can't do it. As we sing the song, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to make their life right with God in any way, we would like to invite you to come now while we together stand and sing.